Welcome to It's All Journalism. My name is Michael O'Connell. Joining us on the phone is a former neighbor of ours, Anthony DeBarros. He was manning a booth next to ours at the ONA conference in Chicago a couple of months ago. Welcome, Anthony.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Anthony is the director of interactive applications at Gannett Digital. What he was demonstrating in Chicago was the Oculus Rift virtual reality headset. So to start off with, can you sort of describe what the Oculus Rift technology is?
Yeah, it's a very immersive technology. From a hardware perspective, it's really little more than a small screen the size of a smartphone screen that's built into a headset that you put on that fully covers your eyes. And it has incorporated into the headset motion tracking and accelerometer and all those things that will allow the headset to keep track of which direction you're looking, how fast you're moving your head, and so on. And the total effect is that when you're viewing an experience, the experience is all around you, and it's as if you've stepped inside of a world. And if you move your head up to look up in the experience, you're looking up, and if you look to the left or the right in the experience, you're looking left or right. So it's sort of the newest generation of immersive three-dimensional virtual reality technology.
Yeah, I think anybody who's played 3D video games might have an idea what this is, but I think it's even sort of goes beyond that. I had the opportunity to put on a headset in Chicago and check it out, and it is pretty amazing. I can see it being the next step, certainly in virtual gaming, that basically you're in a completely different environment. You're able to look up. The thing that you were demonstrating was a story that you guys had developed for the Des Moines Register. And it starts out, you're actually on a helicopter, and you can look up and you can see the rotors, and you can look down and see the ground going below you. And as it lands, you can see this farm and everything all around you. And you really get the sense that you're actually in the story, as it were.
Yeah, that's the thing about it, is that Oculus, the founders, the folks who founded the company, keep talking about this word, presence, and the idea that when you are using this technology, you really have a sense that you are there in whichever environment you're viewing. Now, I'll grant you that of all the demos that I've seen, some more than others are created more realistically and actually have you feel like you're actually in a place. You know, some are pretty rudimentary and you can kind of tell they're like Legos, you know. But the thing that's significant, I think, about the Oculus Rift and virtual reality now in 2014 as we head into 2015 is that, first of all, Facebook thought enough of this technology to purchase the Oculus Rift company for $2 billion. Second, the Oculus Rift, Oculus is not the only player right now in this space. Sony, Samsung, even Google are investing heavily in this. And so there are a number of hardware and software manufacturers right now that are trying to crack the market and get in position for what they are expecting is going to be the next, you know, big thing in terms of consumer engagement with media. You know, whether it happens in the next 6 months or the next 3 years remains to be seen. There's still some hurdles that have to be crossed.
Yeah, and I certainly think that, you know, I think my first reaction to it was, you know, I immediately saw the application for something like this in gaming. That, you know, there's an environment where people, you know, sort of understand the concept of being sort of part of a story that's put together and moving around and interacting with characters to sort of tell and progress through some sort of story. I think the disconnect, though, and especially you were showing it at ONA, is, you know, what is the journalistic application of it? Can you sort of talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right that most of the early interest in this has come from the gaming world, and it's to be expected because something that's so immersive and so interactive is going to naturally lend itself very well to existing gaming environments. But once you start to get an understanding of what the technology does, it's not very hard to start or to be able to set aside the whole idea of gaming and start to think about, well, what are the other applications for this? And let me, before I talk about journalism, let me just talk about one that's not even related to gaming or journalism. And so right now, if you're going to go shop, you're going to go look to either rent a new apartment or buy a house, what do? You go online. You start looking at photos of places, you try to search, you try to imagine, you know, what does this place look like from a couple of photos. And if you really want to get serious, you got to get a real estate agent, you got to get in a car, you got to drive around, spend a whole day. Well, imagine that you go to your realtor's office or you're sitting in your own, you know, living room, and you put on a headset, and you're suddenly able to virtually walk through and around as many apartments or houses as you want without having to invest a whole lot of time. You could really quickly get a sense of how valuable that would be as a sales tool, right? So thinking about that kind of world opening up, then think about what we do as journalists. What we do as journalists is really all about telling stories. And we, traditionally, as writers, as photographers, as builders of interactive applications, the thing that we try to do is bring our readers or bring our viewers into the story. We either do that with very good descriptive writing, or we do it with well-produced audio and video, or we do it with interactive applications that let people dive into the data. Well, virtual reality is just very simply an extension of those kinds of storytelling tools. It's another medium that journalists could make use of to tell stories. And that's the way that we approached this first project that we did with the Des Moines Register. We said, here's a story that we want to tell, and we're going to use all of our traditional means to tell the story, but we're also going to build a component around the Oculus Rift and virtual reality.
The one word that you said was sort of presence, that you're actually in that. And what this definitely gives you is a sense of space, that you're in the story and you're moving around in it. And you don't always get that with video. You don't always get that with photos. It sort of ups that game a little bit. So let's back up a second and let's talk a little bit about this project. It was called Harvest Change that Gannett, your team, put together with the Des Moines Register. Can you sort of talk about how that came about?
Sure. Yeah, we very early on, we had a visit from a professor at Syracuse University. Dan Pacheco teaches journalism and innovation up there. And we connected with him at a ONA conference and invited him to come visit us at Gannett Digital last fall and bring a bunch of his toys along, because we wanted to spend some time exploring potential future journalism applications. So he brought a drone, he brought Google Glass, he brought a gesture interface that lets you wave your hand and move objects around on a screen. And those things were all really cool, and we were impressed with that. But then he brought along his Oculus Rift, and we were beyond impressed with that. We were pretty blown away. And so we said, my boss here at Gannett Digital, Mitch Gelman, said, this is something I want to spend my summer working with. So we brought Dan down to spend the summer with us, and at the same time, we got together and we started thinking, well, what kind of story do we want to tell? And we could have really gone the easy route and said, well, look, let's look for something very, very, dramatic and exciting. Let's take people on a roller coaster ride. Let's go to a rodeo. Let's go down to Mardi Gras or something like that. But we knew that because this was going to be, as far as we knew, the first time that a major journalism organization was going to step out and do a story in virtual reality, we wanted to do something with a lot of depth, a lot of substance, and because of my particular interest in data journalism, based on some data analysis. So we came up with a very broad story idea about broad technological, cultural, demographic, and economic changes in America and how people are grappling with those. And then we I looked around for, you know, Gannett has 80 community newspapers across the U.S., plus USA Today. And we looked around for a newsroom that would really be eager to sink its teeth into a project like this. And the Des Moines Register is one of our best newsrooms, very digitally focused and forward-thinking. And we went out and visited them. We brought along the Oculus Rift. We brought along our idea, and they said, we'd love to work with you. But their, you know, their focus there in Iowa, aside from the Iowa caucuses and all the politics that they're going to deal with over the next couple of years with the presidential cycle, they write a lot about agriculture because Iowa is a state that's got, you know, billions of acres of corn and soybeans and, you know, lots of agriculture related to livestock, pigs and so forth. And they said, you know, this is an important part of our coverage area, and we want to tell the story you're talking about through the lens of a farm family or a couple of farm families. So that's really how we got started on a project.
Well, and that's sort of an interesting way to approach it because, you know, like you said, you know, why not go on a roller coaster? And it's funny that you said that because I remember when I was much younger going to the movie theater, sitting in front of a 70-millimeter screen, and there was this movie that was called This is Cinerama that they had sort of set out. And one of the things in it was a roller coaster. And because of the screen taking up so much of your perception that, you know, as you're going down the big hill, you suddenly get that feeling, that sinking feeling that you get on a roller coaster. And there's a sort of similar thing at when I went to, Disney World, where they had the, you know, the complete 360-degree screen where they were flying over the Rockies and everything. It's, you know, this sort of technology, it's a sort of a step up in getting that. So the fact that you guys chose, or the Des Moines Register chose something that was maybe not as dynamic as something like that, was kind of interesting, but I think it also probably presented a challenge for you guys, don't you think?
Well, it did, because we had to really think about how we were going to tell such a complex story, do it in a short amount of time, too, because we just had a summer, and we wanted to get it done in time to bring it to ONA and display it for other journalists. So we had to really think about how were we going to tell this story, and that involved not just thinking about the story itself, but starting to understand the capabilities and limitations of the technology. And so we ended up learning a lot about what you can do inside an Oculus Rift, and we ended up really pulling together two pieces inside that environment. One of them was a fairly traditional gaming platform environment, a development tool called Unity 3D. And this is a well-established game platform development tool. Lots of games are built with Unity 3D. That's what allows you to render and model objects in 3D and allow people to quote-unquote walk around and visit, you know, different portions of it. So that was one part. The other part was that we discovered that there's this emerging new video technology that allows you to shoot in 360 degrees all at once with one camera. And we connected with a company out of New York City called Total Cinema 360, and they really became our gateway into doing that kind of work. They worked with us out in Iowa. They came out for a couple of days. They shot a 3 days worth of video that turned into the 12 video segments that we incorporated into the Unity 3D environment. So that opening helicopter sequence that you mentioned, that was Adrian Velasquez de Velasco from Total Cinema 360 riding in that helicopter, holding his special camera out the door of the helicopter on a pole. So that was something that was really exciting for us to discover.
Yeah, and I like the idea of, you know, here's a new technology. How can we use it to tell stories? What are the storytelling challenges that we have? You imagine, you know, a photojournalist for the first time trying to, you know, oh, I just snap a photo. Oh, well, maybe I want to compose it to tell something a little bit more than just, you know, here's what's going on. You know, you sort of developing a storytelling techniques.
Exactly. And, you know, it was interesting because when we first announced that we were doing this project, when it was published, got a lot of interesting reaction. I got a very strong negative reaction from someone who said, why are you doing this? What problem does it solve? And I thought that was an interesting question because it really is not a question of solving a problem. It's a question of learning how to work within a medium that is going to develop and mature over the next couple of years. And I think your analogy is very apt in that when journalists first were able to get a hold of low-cost video cameras, either standalone or now part of their phone, everyone had to start to learn how to do a better job.
Tell a story.
And tell stories with video. Because it was no longer a tool that was in the hands of a filmmaker, per se. Now it's something that everybody can use. And you can somewhat expect that virtual reality is going to follow that same trajectory. Right now it's a tool that's in the hands of developers and fairly specialized people. But like most technologies, it's going to come down the road to a consumer-type versions, and it'll be available to journalists to use. And so we thought of this project as both a bona fide journalistic enterprise and a piece of R&D that would allow us to start to understand how can we tell stories using this medium.
Yeah, and you think where video has sort of made strides in the last 10 years? You know what you were saying, that people have videos on their iPhones or their mobile devices, and just the impact that's had on having on the spot photos and videos, and incorporating that into news. How that sort of impacted and changed. You look at how they put these cameras on wires over football games, how that sort of changed the perception of the action and the events as they unfolded, how we have drones now covering events, and us getting a different perspective and sort of a different way of telling our stories.
Right.
Now, what's exciting for me, I think about this, is, you know, going back to that idea of presence, that you're putting the reader, the spectator inside the action of the moment, something that we try very much to do in our standard and our traditional ways of telling journalism.
Yeah, and I think you know, let's just even think about events that are currently in the news and how we might use this technology to cover those if we were, you know, a few months down the road and a little bit more mature. So you think about what happened in Ferguson after the killing of Michael Brown, and the protests, the riots, the police action, and so forth. Well, it was certainly well covered by the media, right? We had people with cell phone video cameras live streaming from the streets. But again, there's a limitation now that I've seen what 360 degree video is like. There's a live streamed video from a cell phone is sort of like the Model T compared to, you know, a Cadillac SUV. That 360 degree video in the Oculus Rift would give you from that experience, because now we could actually, you know, if we were able to take a 360 degree video camera and put it in the midst of that protest on that street where the tear gas is coming down and the police are marching and people are protesting, then you could actually take your reader into that place in a way that we've never been able to do as journalists. And I think that's very exciting.
Yeah.
From a storytelling standpoint. And that's just the video component on its own. So I think that we're going to see, I believe we're going to see down the road more use of that as it becomes more of a consumer item and easier to do.
Yeah, I was watching a video online yesterday of there were people who were protesting on a subway platform in New York City. being surrounded by police officers and somebody being taken away. And it was an incredible piece of, you know, cell phone video. And, you know, I just, you know, putting that together with an Oculus Rift type of thing, just actually putting your reader, your viewer on the platform. You know, I stress very much to people who may be listening to this that Oculus Rift puts you in that space. And very much sort of beyond even what like a video game puts you in a game.
Sure. Yeah, it really does. And that leads me to, you know, it would be unfair of me to not point out one of the current major issues with the Oculus Rift that even the makers of it have said is the elephant in the room, and that is the nausea factor.
Yeah.
They're, depending on the person, and we saw this at the ONA conference that you and I were neighbors at, some people can put that headset on and sit there and move around and have a great time for 20, 30 minutes, and we had to tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, there are people waiting. Other people put the headset on, and 1 to 3 or 4 minutes into the experience, their head is spinning and they're sick to their stomach. And so there is, and this is widely acknowledged as a technical issue that makers of virtual reality products have to solve for, and that is the nausea factor. Some people just seem to be prone to getting dizzy in the experience. And I know that even one of the founders of Oculus issued a public appeal of sorts to other hardware manufacturers and software makers to really be sure that they're making high quality experiences that will go, you know, do their best to not induce that type of dizziness. But I think that's going to be something that needs to be solved before it truly becomes a widely accepted consumer item.
Well, let's not just keep talking about the wonderful visual aspect of it. Let's talk about some of the storytelling elements that you were able to sort of put in with the Des Moines Register story. The fact that once you're in this space and you're sort of moving around, you actually were able to interact with data. Could you sort of tell how that sort of came about and how the reader experience is like with that?
Yeah, the whole story was really undergirded by data and demographic analysis, because it's a story about change. So we looked at the changing face of America in terms of race and ethnicity, age, and so on. And then we looked at economic data. We looked at data about technology, immigration, and so on. We wanted to offer in the experience at least one attempt at visualizing data in 3D. So we created a very simple globe and bar chart that describes and highlights the fact that Iowa, as a exporter of grain to the world, is increasingly finding itself playing on the world stage when it comes to economics. And so the viewer in the experience, as he or she is walking around this farm area, when they turn a corner, they encounter this globe with arrows, and the globe is spinning, and the arrows are coming out of Iowa, and they're pointing at the different nations where Iowa farm exports end up. And then there's also a interactive bar chart that is showing change over time, and which the five leading countries that Iowa is exporting its products to. So that was really, I think, as a data journalist, it really is only scratching the surface of the kinds of 3D immersive data visualizations that you can do in an environment like that.
Is this sort of a, I want to say like a roller coaster ride type thing, or even a video game where you start at the beginning and you get to the end? Is there one narrative, or can the narrative change with the way that the reader interacts with it?
And that's a great question, because that was something that we wrestled with, was how do we tell the story? Do we direct people in a very linear fashion from point A to point Z, or do we let them roam? And so we ended up doing a little bit of both. We actually had two interns for the summer who did some coding on the project. And we put the question to them. We said, what do you want to do when you enter this environment? Do you want to be led by the hand from one place to another? They said, absolutely not. We want the freedom to go about, to find at our own pace the things that are there. So knowing that that was, you know, kind of the ethos that we wanted to stick with, we did some very gentle guidance, I would say. So, for example, when you come out of the opening video of the helicopter landing on the farm, we are pointing you as a viewer toward an icon that really is the opening segment where the family says hello and introduces themselves. And then you are somewhat led gently, you know, by the placement of icons through a series of videos and things that you can encounter. But in practice, as I watched several hundred people go through the experience, I noticed that everybody kind of encountered it in their own way. And the best analogy that I could think of at the end of the day was that what we created was more like a museum exhibit, where, you know, if you go to one of the galleries here in Washington, D.C., and you go to a special exhibit, well, the curator has laid it out in such a way that you kind of go through in a certain order, but you're not forced to do that. You can stop, you can linger, you can look at something, you can move on, you can skip a piece that's not interesting to you. So that's what we did for this piece. But all to say, you know, journalists have the total freedom to do this any way they want. I think for our experiment, that was what we chose to do. But it might not always be the best for a particular story.
So what has been the reaction to Harvest of Change?
Well, I think from, first of all, from the people who were the subjects of it, they were blown away. You know, it's not always the case that when you write or do a story about people and tell their story that they're super happy with it, right? But the farm families that we wrote about and created this experience about were just, their minds were blown, because they're literally experiencing in virtual reality the place where they live and work every day, and they're just amazed. So on the one hand, that was very satisfying. We got a lot of attention from various technical media, and in journalism circles, a lot was written about the project, and those reactions ranged from, hey, this is great, this is really smart that Gannett is doing this, to the headline on one particular story was, we all got a chuckle out of it. It said, for Gannett's first experiment in virtual reality, they take you to a desolate Iowa farm. And we thought, yeah, well, yes, that's right, we did. We took you to a place that matters to people in Iowa. So that, I think that reaction was kind of all over the map. I think it's sort of similar in ways to the reaction that I encountered back in the 1990s when I started telling people about the internet and showing them Netscape Navigator and telling people, hey, you know, you can type in a web address and go look at, you know, photos of cats. And they were like, well, why would I want to do that? You know, what problem does that solve? Why will I ever need this? You know, and in my mind, it's either the kind of thing that you're going to quickly see the possibilities of, or you're going to be a little leery of and say, not sure how this is going to work. I'm going to wait and be a little cautious.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask you two important questions. One, what's the monetary side of this? The fact is that in order for people to enjoy this, they need to purchase an Oculus Rift headset. So how much does it cost them? And then how much does it cost to develop a project like this?
Yeah, a great question. So the Oculus Rift hardware that's available right now is, you know, the consumer version has not even been released yet. We worked with what's called the development kit, and we used the second version of the development kit. One of those development kits costs $350, so it's not out of the realm of a kind of typical consumer devices somebody might buy, like an Xbox or a
right.
Like a cool new phone or something like that. And who knows what the actual price of these is going to be once they hit the consumer market and there's competition. So I think that from a consumer standpoint, it's not going to be outside the realm of attainability. But we also, it should be noted, developed two-dimensional versions of this experience that you can download and run on a PC or a Mac. So even if you don't have an Oculus Rift to do the full-blown immersive experience, you can still get a sense of all of it by downloading a big file. But then, to part two of your question, what does it cost to develop? Our main cost for this particular project was the video production, because we did go out and hire an outside company to do it. But beyond that, it costs surprisingly little. We purchased a couple of Oculus Rifts at $350 a piece. We had to purchase a license for Unity 3D, and I forget what that was. It wasn't inexpensive, but a little more than $1,000 for that. And then, we had a couple of interns. We have a paid internship program.
That's what interns are for.
Well, yeah, we have a paid internship program. So at the beginning of the year, Mitch Gelman said to a gathering of the interns, have any of you here done any video game programming with Unity 3D? And lo and behold, two of them put their hands up. So we quickly tapped them to work on the project. And then we brought in a contractor who had worked for EA Mythic Labs, game development company, right here in the D.C. area, and was very experienced with game design and art direction. And he came in, and we actually ended up hiring him to be a full-time member of our staff because we just loved the work that he did. So, the costs overall were not that crazy. I think that, when we were at ONA, for example, there was a gentleman from the University of Missouri who was showing back to Ferguson. He was showing a reconstruction of a street in Ferguson, I believe, that he did all by himself using Unity. And it was really good. He did a great job of kind of reconstructing that area. So this is the sort of thing that journalists could just start playing with right now. And you can get a trial version, a free trial version of Unity for nothing, and just start playing with it. You can't publish with it, but you could at least start learning. And then the other part of it, the 360-degree video cameras. There are a number of manufacturers that are coming to market with those. We've been talking to a bunch of them to kind of understand what's coming and the capabilities. You're going to see a lot of that in the next couple of years. So I think, like anything, prices are going to come down. And right now, just to even experiment is a very low-cost type of thing.
And the other side is, as there's more content, it's like when 3D TVs, who's going to buy a 3D TV? But, as more videos are being released, movies are being made that have 3D in them, then people may be more likely to purchase an item like that. So as the technology sort of snowballs, the price, as you said, will come down. So what's the long-range plan here for Gannett at this point?
Well, we were encouraged enough by both the reaction to the piece and then the technical accomplishment, what we felt that we were able to achieve in a short amount of time, that we're going to continue developing projects for it. We have another one in the works right now that is probably going to come out in the early part of 2015. I'm not at liberty to say what it is, but keep an eye out for it. And I think that we were encouraged enough to keep going.
When we post this podcast, I'm going to include a link to where people can check out the Harvest of Change, which is also, I guess, at the Des Moines Register website. And they can, of course, people can also Google it as well.
Absolutely, yep. Harvest of Change, Des Moines Register, it's easy to find.
Okay, cool. Well, this has been really great. I'll tell you, when I saw what you guys were doing at O&A, I said, I don't know. And I put the headsets on. I was like, I don't know. But the more I think about it, this is like, you know, this is like video. This is like photography, the way, you know, new technology comes in and sort of changes storytelling. And especially when you consider the strides that have been made in telling stories through video games, you know, just taking this type of technology and applying it to the way we tell the news, I think is a very exciting possibility. It may not be next week or next month, but, you know, this may be something that we're going to be dealing with very soon. And it's really exciting to see this going on.
It is. And we have to remember that the language of video games and the language of interactivity is a language that is understood very well by a generation of people that we as journalists want to make sure that we can serve. And although we probably don't want to get in a position where we're totally video gamifying our news presentation, we still can take advantage of the platform itself to tell stories in ways that are new and exciting. And I think that holds a lot of potential. So I'm excited to see how this is going to develop over next couple of years.
Yeah, I think it really what's going to have to happen is, you know, the technology will get cheaper, more people will use it, they'll start to see the advantages of it. And then once that happens, then the storytellers will get in and say, well, maybe we can, you know, cover this event, or maybe we can use this to sort of flesh out something we're doing, or to provide something different and capture that audience, like you said, that is really comfortable with this type of storytelling.
Right.
Okay. Well, yeah. Thank you for coming on, Tony. This has been really fun.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So you take care.
You've been listening to It's All Journalism, a weekly podcast about the changing state of digital news. Find more info on us and download other episodes at itsalljournalism.com. This podcast is produced in partnership with the Association of Alternative News Media. Thanks for listening.